Independent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints here on BBSRadio.com. I hope you're hearing me clearly tonight. Seems to be a lot of jitter on the line. That often happens when this show comes on, and we'll just intend for it to smooth out a little bit. Well, for some of you, it is approaching those final ticks of what we call tax day, April 15th. My mind and my tongue are not synchronized yet. There was a rally, as we heard about on last night's show with my special guest Art Pollock, in Washington, D.C., at the steps of the Capitol, and I got a preliminary report that there were about, out of 300 million people in the United States, about 500 people showed up. So I want to congratulate everyone on their conscious effort to get out there, those that did. And I wonder about the remaining 299,999,900. I can't even figure out what that is. The number is so small, roughly the 300 million that didn't show up. Of course, I didn't show up, so I can't speak too loudly against those that didn't. But it was a freedom rally to bring some awareness to some major issues going on around the country. Some involved the Federal Reserve, the IRS. There were many entertainers there and great speakers. We should get an update on what actually transpired during the day. And my understanding last night was that it was going to run from 9 a.m. up until 6 p.m. this evening, Eastern Standard Time. So a lot could have happened during that time, and we look forward to finding out anything worthwhile that was said, anything that transpired. And when we get that information, we will share it with you. Possibly have Art Pollock on again soon to talk about it firsthand. Now, in the meantime, tonight I had two guests booked together. One felt a little bit ill, so we want to say a get well prayer for Alejandro Rojas, who is the MUFON International Director of Public Relations and Education. And we have his buddy with us, though, tonight. He has been on Evident Footprints a few weeks ago. He is the founder of the ParanormalResearchForum.com, and he also works on some TV production work with Alejandro, who could not make it tonight. And so we welcome to Evident Footprints, Mr. Rick Nelson. Rick, how are you this evening?
Very good, Don. Thank you. Nice to be here tonight. I assume it's nice everywhere. Thank you very much.
Okay. We had plans tonight to talk about a particular topic, and I presume we were going to go along those lines. Of course, this show can go in any direction, so feel free to go in any direction you choose, as long as we talk about something.
Yes, well, something interesting, hopefully.
Or something interesting, of course. We don't mince words, so you know, feel free to say what's on your mind. I know that you wanted to talk about the emerging fabric of the universe. And we're not talking about a new polyester type of clothes here or a synthetic material, but we're talking about what the whole universe is changing into, at least in our realm. And I know you know quite a bit about that. And so I want to open up the discussion. And feel free to ask me any questions whenever you like. And of course, as always, we welcome calls by our listeners.
Thank you, Don. It's interesting you mentioned polyester and synthetic because, quite frankly, that's the fabric we've been living by for some time here. And we're getting down to the more natural fundamental fabric that makes up the entire universe. Some call it quantum physics from a scientific aspect at this point that's evolving quickly. Others call it spirituality. You can label it however you want to, and I don't believe we have the vocabulary or the concepts to quite grasp all of it or use the terminology correctly that we're coming up with. But clearly there are many common denominators within the paranormal, if you will, just outside of the mainstream. There's a difference between being normal and natural. Our culture and society and institutions tend to force us into the norm, and when, quite frankly, the majority of everything is just natural, but it's not as quantifiable. And when you start drifting away from the current paradigms we believe in, people call that paranormal and try to force you back to what we fundamentally believe, which is pretty basic. But very clearly, things regarding, let's say, ghosts are coming into our culture more with the television programs, movies, etc., and many paranormal topics, especially with movies, ETs, UFOs, crop circles. And many of these things have common denominators that really haven't been pointed out that much. I've worked with ghost investigators and scientists on projects and UFO researchers, and it's amazing the commonality between them and even crop circles. The alterations of electromagnetic fields, the draining power. I'm sure everybody that has looked at or researched anything to do with UFOs or ghosts realize that the draining of battery power is extremely common and very prevalent in the presence of both ghosts and UFOs. I just find that quite fascinating. Again, it appears to be the electromagnetic field, such as what Tesla looked at, we're pulling right out of the atmosphere that truly exists everywhere, discovering the characteristics of it and how to manipulate it. And it's really exciting to realize even the protocols with ghosts, UFOs, and other things are about the same. It's fundamentally the same as meditation, prayer, self-hypnosis. You become clear, centered, remote viewing, out-of-body experiences. They're all the same basic steps you take to get there. You quiet your conscious mind. You allow yourself to go to another place, spiritually, if you will, and you just connect with everything that exists, and you have a greater capability of tapping into this just massive matrix that is just infinite, so many dimensions it appears, and you can transcend them once you get out of that intellect in the way we've been taught. It isn't as much what we have to learn as what we have to unlearn that we have been taught. I think fundamentally we all knew everything when we came into this world. We just didn't develop the intellect yet, but we were connected. And we have awarenesses within our DNA and our innate characteristics that allow us to know at the deepest level all that exists. And I love working with people tapping into these things and finding that just making simple requests out loud, we can connect with other dimensions and other life forms, and they will interact with us, and we can quantify it, we can videotape it, audio tape it, and the interchanges are fascinating. We all have access to it. I don't want to hog the conversation here, so chime in any time, please.
No, you did a great job. In fact, I got bumped off the call.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of interesting because we're talking about paranormal, and you know we're talking about the things that are beyond what is normally accepted, especially by the scientific community, basically because they don't understand it, or what they do understand they don't tell us about. And so when we get into these topics, I think they find it interesting if they can knock me off the call. So.
Yes, you never know where these things come from.
Yes. That's paranormal, too.
Yes. You know? I'm just so fascinated about vortexes or vortices and the mm-hmm. energy fields that are around. And vortexes are basically an alteration of physics as we know them, physical laws. And they're a distortion of the physical laws as we comprehend them. And there are places, even here in this country, that you can go to and actually experience them, measure them. There's an Oregon vortex, the mystery spot in Northern California. I've had friends go there, and they're just amazed at what they can experience. And it defies all mm-hmm. logic, and it's measurable. I just find it thrilling that you can do that, especially for skeptics.
Well, here on this planet, if anyone who has ever experienced a vortex, they are dimensional portals. There is definitely some energy movement going on, and what I've noticed is they are vertical. They move straight up and down. They're not angular. They seem to be perfectly perpendicular to the surface of the Earth, where one might be standing. And they just seem to keep going. You don't really notice any fluctuations in velocity or intensity. It just seems to be a steady stream of energy. Have you had any experience like that yourself, Rick?
Yes, but I'm hoping to do a little more this summer with Dr. Claude Swanson down in the San Luis Valley near the Sand Dunes National Monument in Colorado. They've been known down there for quite some time, and measured down there before. We want to get down and quantify them quite a bit more. Now, these are subtle energies we're talking about frequently, and not all are quantifiable or measurable with instrumentation we have, but I'd like to get the ones documented that we can document. These, again, are subtle energies, and these pathways are also referred to as doorways, windows, gateways, stargates, and more. And another part of the matrix are those energy fields, which would be ley lines or Hartman lines. And these grids mm-hmm. go, it appears, everywhere. And you had mentioned that vortexes, from your understanding, are vertical. From what I'm familiar with, from some of the best researchers at this point that I respect the most, these things go through the Earth, they go into space, and within each of us, we have these energy fields in our bodies. It's just fascinating to start to discover all of this. It's been laying in front of us the whole time. Nothing's new about it, just our familiarity with it or acceptance of it. Many of the shaman from any native or indigenous cultures around the world were more familiar with these types of powers and abilities and energies and fields. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, it's funny
That's
because...
very...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, underscore what you just said. My experience was on a sacred Indian ground. In fact, it was the sacred mountain of the Anasazi Indians, and that they could feel that they could sense that, and basically set up their community in that area, spoke volumes about what they were aware of, what they knew.
Yes, livestock will not go through a vortex, typically, or certain types of vortexes, and ranchers, farmers know these things, that a herd of cattle or horses or sheep will, in one walking in a straight line as a herd, will make a point to go completely around a vortex, get back on their straight line, and continue ahead. But animals are tuned into different frequencies than we are. That's quite apparent with earthquake predictions and many other things. Or having a sense of knowing hundreds and hundreds of miles away where the owner of a dog is. When the dog is lost, they find their way home. Even if the owner moves, they can find their way to them, and cats. And you know there's something there that they're tapped into that we're not, at least consciously not. I just find that so compelling. Everything I've heard since I was a kid is exciting when these little mysteries come up. And how does that happen? You can't dismiss it. I put them all in pigeonholes in my mind, and I've been pulling those things mm-hmm. out of the pigeonholes in recent years, and figuring out what they have in common. And that's what's so exciting. To connect with anything else, whether you're meditating, praying, using CSETI protocols, that's the Center for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, with Dr. Stephen Greer. Those protocols are the same that ghost hunters use. I mean, you just do a simple clearing, you put your intent, your protective intent around you, and you make a request, respectfully. And you have the, we all have the ability to tap into things, powers beyond our conscious understanding, and certainly beyond what we're taught. I find it funny that people who consider themselves very practical, or I need to have you prove it, prove it, prove it. Well, there's a lot of religious people out there that take that mindset that you have to prove it to me, yet they've accepted religion. They've accepted there are powers there. They just group it into the simple term of religion, and whatever religion they choose is what they base all of these things on and accept the information as it's delivered through their particular faith. But in reality, in my mind, what is in common with in all belief systems, all religious belief systems, that is the foundation of the matrix that makes up the universe. And that is to be respected above and beyond.
You brought up SETI, and I wanted to share something with you. I don't know that I ever shared this with you off the air, Rick, or on the air for that matter, and possibly not with this listening audience here on BBS Radio. I have talked about this on past shows. It's a short story about when I first came into some material that was, let's say, floating around the ufology community. And much of it had to do with some of the secret projects, the black ops projects and underground bases and those types of stories. And then the issue came up about SETI, and it was involving a project manager from JPL. I was living in California at the time, and so I read this. It was in the Daily News, and it was one of these weekend entertainment section features, you know, the little supplement that they throw in the middle of the paper, and they tell you about all the entertainment. And this was a front page of that insert, and it was a 3 or 4 page article about how concerned they were about discovering life in other parts of the universe. And they talked about the special disc that they had sent out into space, and it had all of this music on it, and, you know, Michael Jackson, and information about men and women. And really, this was nothing more than a publicity stunt for the rest of us. That their knowledge and their experience and what they had learned from having been out there in space was far, far beyond anything they presented to the public. So I called up this project director from JPL, and I threw some things at him. I threw some facts, and I mentioned some very specific things. And I said, how can you insult those that know that there's more going on than this to the extent that you are? Do you think everyone is dumbed down? And he sort of took offense to what I had to say, but I said, you know, there's definitive proof that there is life all throughout the universe, teeming life, in fact. And you're insulting those that know about it, as if we depend upon what you tell us for our information. And he said, well, you know, I'm going to send you some information, Don. I'd like to send you a brochure and our star map and show you what stages our project is in for the future, so you really understand what we're doing. And, of course, I brought up the topic of EBEs, which was their term for extraterrestrial biological entities. That wasn't a term I made up. That was a term the government made up. And he just totally disavowed any knowledge, any experience, and he concluded by saying that he would send me these things, and he would hate to think that they were spinning their wheels, that they were wasting their time. And I said, so would I, but I'd have to agree with you that that's exactly what you're doing.
Isn't it amazing these people don't take the time to look at the hundreds and hundreds of government documents that clearly identify the presence and their acknowledgement of it?
Oh, yes. Well, the end of the story was about 2 weeks later, I got a packet of information. Now, keep in mind, I lived about 15 miles from JPL, and they sent me something from Washington, D.C. And on the envelope, on the return address, it said Office of EBE, which I found to be hilarious. Here the guy is telling me, he never heard about that. Do I believe in that, really? And and it was stamped right on the envelope, EBE. So it shows how disingenuous the whole issue is.
Right.
That was good enough for me.
The ruse is dissipating, and anyone can see through the veil anymore if they even start looking at to any extent at all. The information is so available and so checkable, actually. Some people are concerned about anything on the Internet is incorrect. Well, there's enough government documents on there. There are enough historic biblical references and photographs for the last 2,000 years that show these craft-type things in these beings, in hundreds of them. It's undeniable it's there. What you want to make of it, that's something different. But I love the Internet. Again, it's the only free press left in the world, in my mind. And under UFOs, on Google, there are over 51 million websites that are devoted to this or refer to UFOs. And regarding ghosts, there's 166 million websites that are about them or referring to them. And these things are just real. And it's great that they're starting to migrate into the mainstream. Because once we start acknowledging the presence of life forms beyond our understanding, we then have the key. As long as we're clear in our movement, we don't overreact or panic. Being paranoid is just wrong. Being cautious and thoughtful and not jumping to conclusions too quickly is imperative. But we're going to find out we coexist with so much. It's like the Earth is nothing more than an island in the universe. I was thinking about that today. And we've not swum off the island. With some of our astronauts, they've had their outrigger canoes and have gone out a certain period and place in the ocean and found another little island. But quite frankly, there's so much more. And we're just beginning to understand it and discover it. And we'd better not rely on our institutions to deliver it to us. We better start realizing we better do our own thinking, our own paying attention, and watch the patterns and habits of things we've experienced through the course of our life. If extraterrestrials have been out there this whole time, which I have no doubt at this point they are, well, based on my personal experience with extraterrestrials and my personal experience with our government, I have a lot more concern about our government at this point in institutions. Their primary motivations are to build their coffers and their power bases and their control. And it's a shame that most of them, the bigger they get, the less they represent who they were intended to originally represent. The more they just represent their own interests. And there's a
Well, they started out being our servants, and they have turned themselves, at least in their belief, into our masters, although those of us that are awake and perceptive know that there's a much, much greater reality staring us in the face right now than anything they could ever do to us.
Most of those mechanisms... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it was pointless for them to continue to do this. It's ridiculous, literally.
Yes, I have no doubt. it's so apparent and has been for so long with me. And even people, I'm enjoying Catholic friends that I've known for 40 years, devout Catholics every Sunday and other nights of the week, have moved away from the conventional institution and gone into more spiritual matters. And from what I can tell, there is a clear migration by many. They're discovering that, well, for one religion to be right, that means all the others are wrong. They're realizing that doesn't make sense. And they want something more. They know there's something more significant, more important. And you don't have to go in and pay somebody else to be familiar with it or interact with it. And mm-hmm. I'm excited that more and more people are discovering this.
You brought up a very good point, Rick, in that, you're describing this, we have the right answer, you're wrong, or, we're the winners, you're the losers, we're the right, you're the left. We have all these paradigms that are the reality here. What you see emerging in this new fabric of the universe is going to eliminate that, isn't it?
Yes. We're going to find out they were all right and they were all wrong. But in a different way than what they're telling
Yeah.
them. They've got bits and pieces mm-hmm. of it, but their method of delivery and their values and priorities that they've implanted in there just are not accurate. And it's careful we don't jump to conclusions again too quickly. Be good listeners right now and be good viewers to notice and start paying attention on your own. Turn off the TV, quit reading the headlines, and do your own research. And have your own conversations that are more meaningful than the most recent sports score or whatever the hot trend is for the week or month as you get it through Diane Sawyer, Good Morning America. Just take charge of our own lives again and do more meaningful things with them. Because these matrixes are all over. Now, whether you're telepathic communication, remote viewing, out-of-body experiences, all of these things have so many of the same things in common. Again, that's what I refer to as the fabric of the universe, these energy fields that exist all over. But they're so fine, they're so subtle, these energies, that our sciences are just starting to recognize that things that small can exist. It's like these rocks are out there, and okay, this is our science, it's a rock, you can beat on it, and here's what happens. You can pick it up. But the fact is, there is, any place you look, there's always something there. There is no void. Other energies fill that void. And we've tended to dismiss them. But quite frankly, the more advanced life forms clearly are familiar with more aspects of what we refer to as the voids. And they can access and use, and some live within these energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so excited. I love it. Because everything emits a resonance or a vibration. Our thoughts, mm-hmm. even our thoughts, anything that's a physical thing, whether it's a stick or a tree or an animal, it's all emitting all the time. And we're generators. We can be more conscious generators of what we put out is what we receive. We have the ability to manifest things on subtle levels beyond our comprehension. Self-improvement courses used to teach us that 20, 30 years ago, and prayer. But through the intention and the request, we influence things. We don't control everything, that's for sure. But we can certainly influence things. We can always change our perception and change our actions and interactions and reactions to things, which always influence the outcome of our experience. And we mm-hmm. typically forget during the course of every hour and every day and every week that we have that much power and ability, and it is that simple. We keep getting distracted with what we've had pounded into us. Well, a good example is tonight, April 15th. The most important thing in this country is paying those taxes. Well, quite frankly, it's not the most important thing. It's their most important thing.
Yes. Taxes backwards is sex app. That's how you look at it,
Right.
I don't know what that meant. I just realized that the word backwards is sex app. So.
You're very kind with that.
Yes, thank you. The overlying theme here to what you're talking about, I think, could be condensed in one word, and that this word comes up quite frequently on the show lately, and that's the word love.
Yes.
And you've heard me use that word. We describe our attachments to the physical world as love, and yet, in the truest sense of the word, we don't really understand the meaning of that word, do we?
No.
And yet you see it everywhere in creation. If you look out into the universe and look at how the Creator has made everything for us, we barely even, I mean, how many people do you think actually go out at night and look at the stars and just ponder how far they go, how far the distance?
I've done it since I was young, and I did it again tonight. I always am amazed and so humbled when I just start noticing things and how they happen and work and how little we know. Only two human motivations. One is fear and the other is love or desire. And anything driven by fear has a pretty bad outcome, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And anything driven by love or desire has a healthy outcome. And many institutions use fear, whether, well, if you don't pay your taxes, you're going to jail. If you don't do what we tell you, you're going to hell. As some churches, they use fear to motivate. And whenever I encounter anything that is trying to encourage or force me to do something through fear, I question the validity or the credibility or the motivations of whatever's trying to force me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything should be respectful. Even our government used to be respectful. Our government employees used to be more respectful. That's kind of gone away. They seem to be more of a police state type activity. Well, take a look at our Homeland Security. But these natural, beautiful laws...
all that began with the Bush family coming to this country. So...
It's just wrong on every level. I don't know how many congressmen or senators even read the Constitution and Bill of Rights anymore. It's if we went back to that, if we actually lived by those directives, that is our foundation, we could do so much better. We've drifted so far away from it. We refuse to even acknowledge it any longer in public forums. Our leadership refuses to address it because the way they conduct their business violates those documents. But I'm drifting away from the natural laws we started out with here. The new discovery of our new sciences. But actually, that is not separate. Because once we start acknowledging the presence of the natural laws more, we don't need the man-made laws as much, nor do we want to give that kind of power to others.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when we talk about the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, I often wish they would have left the letter E out and just called it the search for terrestrial intelligence and spent that money down here. Looking for some intelligence.
Yeah. Well, it's around. We just don't happen to elect it.
I'm being a bit sarcastic, but,
sure
but there's a lot of truth in that statement. You know.
Yes. To laugh at it.
Yes.
It makes it easier.
They assume that they tell us what they want us to hear, and that we swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and that it goes no further than that. But you can't stop, and you know, I'm leading us back to this emerging fabric of the universe, if you can't tell. they try to keep us encapsulated in these little bubbles of belief, and yet all of this is going on around us. Now, you could have maybe one-tenth the intelligence of a warthog, and I don't know how smart warthogs are, but I don't know what other animal to name. it seems that you could still figure out that there's something else going on than what we're told on every level. And we are all being affected by this. It's not something that even has to go through a conscious thought process. The concept of love, when, you know, people say, I love chocolate, I love getting my hair done, I love being pampered, I love a new car, I love a new house, I love taking vacations. We attach everything to actions and physical gratification, and we disavow the very things that truly make us feel alive, and that's the recognition of these higher gifts, this higher consciousness. And if I just say to the listeners, anyone that out there that's not happy with life the way it is, begin to look within and realize that within is what is out there, out of touch, out of reach, because we have been separated from it, not by our own intention, but by allowing others to rule over us and tell us. And to teach us to believe in illusions. All of that is being dispelled by that fabric that you're talking about.
In many ways, we're like computers. We're programmable. And by default, others program our computer. Or we can take charge and reprogram it ourselves and start eliminating those programs that just don't serve our and humanity's highest and best good. It's time for a lot of changes, and they're going to happen through nature and the crumbling of man-made structures and laws that we've developed. And I love the fact that where we're going eventually, but this transition period might be a little difficult in a number of ways, physically, emotionally, and other ways. But it's all going to be for the better. I'm convinced of that.
Mm-hmm. Rick, I'd like to ask you another question here. How many, if you were to guess how many planets there were just in our own galaxy, how many would you say there were or there are?
I'm embarrassed. I don't know.
If I said there were at least a trillion, would I sound like I was exaggerating?
I wouldn't think so, no.
If you consider that there are at least billions and possibly even trillions of galaxies, imagine the expanse of the universe. You could never get to the end of it. You could never see where it stops. And in our limited thinking, we can't even comprehend that. But it just that type of question shows how little we really know about ourselves, let alone about everything else that exists.
And it's amazing somehow, what we do. Go ahead. It's amazing what we do know. The things that we're given on TV about Britney and everyone else and the sports teams are what we know, yet we know nothing about who we are for the most part, why we're here, what's around us, what's out there. We don't even think about it because we're so busy with the chatter, the minutiae that we've been given to focus on. And it's important to become an independent human soul or spirit again and to start reconnecting with bigger things, concerning ourselves with greater things. You mentioned the universe here. There's a video, Google video, I believe. It's the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. Have you seen that short video? It's a 7-minute video. It's the most fascinating thing. It is wonderful. And it goes into, with the Hubble telescope, how far recently we've gone into deep space, into the pitch black of space with this telescope. And the last picture it shows are many thousands of galaxies. Like our galaxy is just one, but there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, in this last picture. And I checked with astronomers, And that last picture represents, if you were to look in, into the sky, night sky, with like a McDonald's straw and look through the straw, those thousands of galaxies is what you would be looking at in that little spot in space where nothing exists, where nothing appears to exist. Consider the possibilities.
And just think how many chicken McNuggets you could fit in there.
Well, that's another thing we do. Everything is vibration and frequency, and unfortunately I think I've enjoyed too many of the wrong vibrations, and it's showing up on my physical body, too.
Shame on you.
I know.
We still have time here yet, but I was wondering if you wanted to give out any website information. I do know that you guys are, I think you're working on another video, are you not? You and Alejandro Rojas?
Yes, we're working on a number of projects right now. There's so many in place. You're back me out, so I have to relook at what I'm doing with my world and all my projects right now. PhenomenaTelevision.com is a new program that Alejandro and I have put together. That's Phenomena, plural, but ends in an A, not an N. And also my website, the Paranormal Research Forum, I'm still updating that one, but I'm trying to present the most fundamental of information so people curious about paranormal topics can start to grasp the bigger, simpler picture from a rational standpoint and then be directed to some of the more profound or fascinating websites that have some of the best material available to start to understand it better. I don't claim to have the answers, but I claim to not be as ignorant as I used to or unaware. And all we can know is more. I don't believe there's the truth. There are truths, plural. And when one truth seems to conflict with another, we need to move to a higher position where we realize they don't really conflict. And then we'll learn a greater truth. But ParanormalResearchForum.com is my website. And I think I'd mentioned on one of your previous shows that the opinion, public opinion polls that have been conducted by Roper, CNN, Gallup Poll, Newsweek, and Life Magazine, it's amazing to find out the shift of public awareness or beliefs in these things, such as UFOs. Here's one on CNN. It was a 1997 poll, 10 years ago, a little over 10. 80% of Americans think the government is hiding knowledge of the existence of extraterrestrial life forms. And 64% of them believe aliens have contacted humans. That's CNN time. The Roper poll says 56% of the Americans think that UFOs are something real and not just in people's imagination. And 45% believe that intelligent life is from other worlds has been monitoring life here on Earth. And I just love these figures, though. Because we're
Rick, have you seen, have you been able to take a peek at some of the photos I have on my website?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Shame on you. Okay.
Well, every day I'm given about 10 hours of video to watch and a couple hundred emails to address, and doing nothing but that has been difficult.
Well, on my website, directlightproductions.com, on my photos pages, I've got some photos of some German UFOs, or these are flying saucers that they were building prior to and during World War II. And there's quite a variety of drawings and photographs. And there were some other craft there as well.
I've seen a couple of those photos actually on your website, yes.
And they're pretty mind-blowing, some of them. I sent one to Jeff Rentz. It's a huge German craft, and in the foreground there's a Nazi officer standing next to a car, and there are some 10 or 12 people standing under this thing, and they've got scaffolding all over the places and trucks. And he said, is this real or was this from a movie? And I said, well, if it was from a movie, tell me which movie. I mean, who would go through the time to build something like this just for a movie prop and not put it in a movie?
Yes.
And as he thought about it, he said, well, that makes a lot of sense, what you just said. But there were hundreds of these crafts that were seen during World War II, and the pictures had been seen for years. Of course, you know, having been in military intelligence yourself, you're sworn to secrecy on these things. Now, why is it so important for the government to be secret about this? Is it panic? I don't think so.
Power, is it, control, money.
It's power and control, absolutely, and it's their agenda, their secret agenda is what it's all about. It has nothing to do with national security whatsoever.
Oh, no.
And that's somehow people buy that and just take that as the gospel truth.
Because they live in fear.
But those that have seen these crafts. I was just going to say, those that have seen these types of crafts, even in real time, all the fear-mongering in the world cannot erase what you have experienced.
Right.
And so, you know, we have these conflicting paradigms there, and one of them has to give. One's got to give. And if I were to ask you, and I guess in a sense I am asking you, which one do you think would be giving?
Well, I just, again, I've lost most of the faith and trust I have in our institutions to one degree or another. And the larger the institution and the more controlling or dominating or dictatorial they are, the less trust and respect I have. It's sad, but I think everyone's starting to get it. It's unfortunate that we'll likely have some tremendous economic trauma within the year that we will be experiencing, but I'm afraid it's going to take something like that before most people will seriously question or challenge or insist and demand on any changes. But if that's what it takes, I guess we'll have to wait and do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're
sort of caught in this paradigm where we have become so dependent upon the illusions that we can't see past the illusions.
And people think to get ahead, what I have to do is take my microscope out and study the stock market and watch all this data that's being generated and sit there and figure out how the world functions. Well, I guess that's one way to do it, but you're blinded to the big picture while you do it. So good luck to all of you. We've really got to back away constantly and ask ourselves, what have I experienced that I should question? And what do I experience that I know I haven't even looked at that I know is important? And what should I challenge that I've learned is not appropriate to trust anymore?
And there's that question that we all ask ourselves, those of us that are truth seekers and light bearers and researchers, or just somebody that just wants to know. How many of us ask the question, why am I here, or why are we here?
I do every week, and I'm finding that a little more. We have purpose while we're here, to evolve, to become better, and to become more aware and familiar. We're almost like amoeba in the universe, and we have to migrate along here and evolve. And it's up to each of us individually, because our individual souls evolve too. Not just our race, but our individual souls.
I have those moments. I've got those moments from week to week, well, at least once a week, I'll ask myself, how did I ever get duped into this? There's two ways to look at it. But
I've had somebody tell me, if you're familiar with Disney World, the e-tickets are the most expensive ride tickets, or used to be at least. And many souls have come here for the e-ticket ride, that they want to be here during this period of time, during the 2012 transition. It's like the big ride for this race, realizing that they cannot die, that, you know, the body will at some point here cease to exist, but they get the experience of this high vibration time we're moving into, where time seems to move faster, the intensity of everything is stepped up. But this is where we determine who we are, individually and collectively, do we have the power to evolve, to pay attention to more significant, important thing and important things, be it as subtle as it is? Can we acknowledge that, because it isn't demanding, we don't give it value? We have to reverse the pyramid, the way it's been structured, and go back to natural laws and living by them more respectfully. We've just been taught so badly and misled. People just have to stop buying into that poor thinking. And the polarization of things creates wars. The perception of polarization creates fear and bad actions and reactions. And it's only a handful of people, when you look at the humanity on Earth, that chooses to create wars. They create the perception within their countries and make them angry at other individuals in other countries. Not the people of that country. It's their leaders that we have the difficulty with. Our leaders have difficulty with their leaders. And we have to stop that. Because the people are more of us than there are of them, but they're more ignorant of us than there are of them. And all we have to do is wake up.
Because you stated the truth in pointing out the polarization. You know, that's often the outcome of the law of cause and effect. You know, these sacred dichotomies that exist. You know, the opposites, the hot and the cold, and up and down, and in and out, and good and bad.
Or Democrat and Republican.
Yes.
That's one of the best polarizations we have to deal with right now. And the fact is, both of them are so far out in two different directions, but serving the same general money, that none of them, neither of them serve taxpayers.
That's what I call the script.
But neither of them even adhere to their principles anymore, the fundamentals of their parties. It's just about winning. It's that sports mentality, for me to win, you've got to lose. And that sensation of winning in the end, our candidate has to win, or they will, and if they win, we're all going to die. Well, come on, people. Drop out of that. Go vote for either party, honestly. Start taking control again, because as long as we pick one of them that's been groomed through that massive economic gauntlet, you can't get to be a presidential candidate without having to buy into some things. And to buy into those things, you've got to sell out. And the things you sell out, unfortunately, all too often are principles anymore. Because if it takes tens and hundreds of millions to get you in office, you owe somebody for getting you in. And it wasn't the taxpayers that paid it. For the most part, it's corporations, it's tax unions, lobbyists, associations, but it's not people. It's power organizations, power groups. And it's hard to unravel it. It's been so metastasized, I think that's the word. That's probably a good way to put it, because that's how cancer develops.
Yes.
But it's time to purify our systems and get back to simpler things. And we just have to stop buying into the mainstream. Instead of, you know, we used to have so many hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses of any kind. But now it's been converted to mega corporations, buying out mega corporations for 20 years now, to the point where a handful of people or organizations run the majority of everything. But it's done so quietly, people don't know.
That's the whole reason they created the Dow Jones, is to get us used to that concept of these companies buying everybody up. You know, the top, you know, it used to be the top 500 companies, then it was the 300, then the top 100, and it's like all they do is talk about the top 50 or the top 10 now, and they base everything on their ability to hoodwink us. And another aspect of what you're really talking or about, Rick, or describing, is the fact that we allow others to make all of our decisions for us. I'm not going to really, I don't know what the issues are. Well, of course you don't know what the issues are. They haven't mentioned any issue. They're talking about whose mother is this and that, and who they're related to, and which is always nothing but lies and obfuscation of the truth.
Right.
That's what I base my research on. We just so readily accept anything they say as if they know better than us. And all we have to do is look around us at our conditions, and we can see that that is not the truth.
So, how about never listening to a candidate again and watching their vote? Go in and find out their voting record. Don't listen to their words. Watch their actions, because they're so inconsistent. Only watch their actions, and the pattern becomes so clear with who and what they are and what their value systems are and who they answer to.
Yeah.
And looking at their voting records, you're not going to elect one of the big three right now. That's for sure if you watch their voting records. Well, personally, I'm just a Ron Paul guy. He's the only one that I can find that is just a non-systems guy from the considerations at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to... I'm tired with the big institutions. They don't represent us any longer. They quit. But as long as I pick one of them, I've lost. You can't win, I don't think, with either party anymore. Not as a taxpayer.
Yeah.
Not as a citizen. And not even as a human. But let natural laws drive all of us now. Pay attention and be good observers, good processors, and not listen to rhetoric, but think. Do our own thinking again. Because this beautiful matrix is all around us, and it's evolving quickly. Our awareness of it. And what a beautiful place it is.
Our intention to have love prevail would be a good place to put our hearts, to center our hearts, and just watch what would happen. It doesn't cost anything to do that.
We create what we process, what we put out, and we can either deal with love or fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, your choice, and how you make all of your choices every day are either based on typically love or fear. And if you consciously start making better choices based on love, we're going to be in a better place.
Well, we let go of the illusion, too.
Yes, yes.
Well, Rick, we're out of time. It's been interesting. See how the time flies when we're having fun?
It is fun. And thank you very much for having me on.
I hope everyone again.
Thank you. I hope everyone takes the time to do their own exploration and discovery. It's a powerful thing.
Well, anyone who's listening to Evident Footprints tonight is doing just that. That's why they listen. And it's because of guests like you that they come to this show. So I want to thank you very much, and I look forward to your next appearance. Wish Alejandro the best from all of us. Speedy recovery. And we look forward to having him on the show again. He was a joy to interview, as well as yourself.
Well, thank you very much, Don, and love to you and your audience and to the world and the universe.
And I recommend everyone go to Rick Nelson's website, paranormalresearchforum.com. And you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. My name is Don Nikoloff. Our guest tonight was Mr. Rick Nelson, and he will be back again sometime in the near future. Do tune in tomorrow night, and we have a very, very special guest. First time he is appearing on my show as a bona fide guest, where I've actually put him on the schedule. He is the man responsible for me being on bbsradio.com. Co-founder of the network, Mr. Donald Newsom, will be my special guest. So I want to encourage you to listen in tomorrow, and I've got some great shows for the rest of the week. Do look at my website, directlightproductions.com, for any news updates. Got some new articles coming out in the next couple of months with the Idaho Observer. You're going to want to read those as well. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a peaceful, a light-filled, and love-filled night, and a good night.